Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Everybody, welcome to the Bowlology Report again. Damien Fleming and Bradley Hodge here. Now, Hodge, straight away, you got a little bit of feedback about your attire last week.
Yes.
And you look very well dressed this week.
Well, I've adjusted a little bit. I had to. I got some feedback to say that the legs
angles
weren't exactly what
you're
they
in shorts.
Yeah, I was in shorts. You know, it's coming into the summer, but I thought I better get dressed up for the occasion. I haven't ironed my pants, but that's okay. At least they're on.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
But you were public transport too last week, and you want to be comfortable, don't you? It probably lends itself to T-shirt and shorts.
Yeah, well, I was trying to fit in. I wasn't sure what this line was like, but, you know, the Sandringham line's a very, very casual line. We've got the beach along there, so, you know, shorts and T-shirts are a known thing. But when I was coming through this way, it's amazing. I didn't even know places existed through there. Is there a place called...
Names.
Oh, was it Hartwell?
Hartwell, yeah.
I didn't even know where that is.
Yeah, it's good cricket.
In fact...
Pitch up there.
Yeah, but look, it was beautiful. The trees were blossoming and it was a nice ride on the train. The problem was I had to catch three trains to get here. I didn't like that you had to get off at Camberwell to then get on to this line. Whatever it's called, this line, I'm not sure.
Well, we'll
but it doesn't even run that much. But,
Melbourne's public transport at some stage. And yes or no, should we have a train to the airport?
Well, we're going to vote sooner or later. Liberal, Labor.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how we're still the world's number one best city when you actually don't have a train running to the airport. But
overseas people would be rocking up going, yeah, where do I buy the train tickets?
Yeah.
And we go, there's no train.
And then jump into a cab system, which doesn't work either.
No.
So, Vancouver is winning for me by a mile.
Would you be prepared to do a report into the Melbourne public? Because it's very topical at
the
moment.
Yes, yes. Oh, look,
it's Halloween today, and I tell you what, there is plenty to be, I wouldn't say scared about. And Hodgie, that leads us into the Cricket Australia review by Simon Longstaff, 147 pages.
Yeah.
In there, and there was quotes like Cricket Australia.
Was any pitches
accused
in that 147?
There wasn't a lot of pitches.
Surely Simon's got to cater for everyone in the cricket world.
You mean top order batsmen?
Yeah, well,
fast bowlers, they're all over that.
Well, our book review last week only had 58 pages in it.
Yeah, we've got
so
a
not many
one.
People can get past.
We've got a bigger one coming from the man Ian Chappell, who had a lot to say in this review.
Cool.
But quickly talking about Cricket Australia, arrogant, controlling, winning, counting. Winning without counting the costs.
Yeah.
Bullying tactics, and also Cricket Australia did not enjoy being challenged by commercial sponsors, players or other stakeholders. I mean, even if you take Cricket Australia out of it, no business would want to read a review about itself there. So 147 pages long. I know as you've got a degree in sport management.
Yes.
From Deakin University.
You
are
degree.
All over this. A master's
yeah.
degree. What were your first thoughts?
Well, first thoughts are... My first thoughts on anything when you do a review is that you've only provided a review when things have gone sour. So, for example, the first one, the Argus review...
That was after the Ashes debacle, wasn't it?
I mean, we just lost the series. Nothing
yeah.
other than that. We played shit and you move on. In this particular instance, it's a little bit different. This is a more of a organisational structure and how everyone is probably deemed within, you know, the environment in which it works. And
well,
also,
generally in the past, do you think it's been more focused on the playing side? But this one is far-reaching that it's actually... had a look at board level and staff and administration.
Yeah, look, I guess I can't talk about the staff in which they work with Cricket Australia. And there's probably so many different levels. I was talking to my wife about this.
There's so many different departments.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And that's probably what we need to distinguish, that we're probably more going to scrutinize the high performance sector because that's what we see and that's what we know. We don't know what the general person who works for Cricket Australia, which does wonderful things out in the countryside, getting, you know, master blasters up and running on weekends, those sort of things. They sort of go unnoticed, but they're an integral part of this system in which we operate cricket.
Definitely.
However, I'm glad this criticism's come now. It's been a long time coming, and everything that you said there, arrogant, controlling, bullying, for me, it's all been relevant for a number of years, and it's a shame that it's shame it's been publicised, and a shame that we've come to this as a cricket union.
And also with reviews, for me, it's all about actually the implementation, isn't it?
Well, what goes
because it
forward?
Can just be a piece of paper. I mean, years ago, we did a few Cricket Victoria reviews,
yeah,
and we, you know, when we feel they didn't get the answers they wanted, it just got shelved.
Yeah, well, the Argus review was one which was basically we need to play better, we need to bat better, we need to bowl better and field better, and we're going to get Pat Howard in there to
make sure
that
happens. He wanted more accountability, though.
He did, yep. So Pat's made a decision and said, okay, well, I'll make you accountable. How do you do that? Well, we'll do that with measurables. Okay,
bonuses.
Let's do it with winning and bonuses. Now, flip back to 10 years later and... You know, we're back on our backsides going, oh, it was the culture in which we were created. Well, I'm sorry, but we're in the business of winning. Sport is about winning at the highest level. That's why it's called elite.
Yes.
The New York Yankees don't go into the season going, let's make sure we have a smile on our face and let's spend $126 million on players' salaries. But if we come mid-table, no one really gives a rat's ass.
No.
The bottom line is to win.
Happy.
Yeah. This has only come about because of, I think, there's been a huge breakdown in communications between Cricket Australia, the playing group, and the ACA through pressurised MOU understandings. And there's also been a breakdown between the players and high performance, and more so the attitudes of players, not only on the field, but also in the community.
So you brought up some really good points there. The fracturing of different departments, are you any surprise in the end that we end up getting what builds up? I'm in South Africa in Cape Town, and we never thought it'd get to that. But, you know, it's interesting, from the MOU, ugly negotiations.
Ugly.
At times, Cricket Australia... you know, showing that their biggest asset, the men's cricket team, you know, want too much money, you know, that you've got a good life and they want more and all that sort of stuff. So if you're actually starting to publicise your best asset that way, I think it's always going to come back and bite you at some stage.
Yeah.
You're definitely right about the high performance as well, because if we even just touch on high performance and where it's going at the moment. When we play four batsmen in the top six that average low 30s, Travis Head was actually 36.
Yeah.
In your top six, including a Mitch Marsh coming out number four, who averages low, mid-20s, that's not high performance to me.
That's absolute garbage.
So if you're on the board and you go, what's our high performance doing when we've got four top order batsmen as well, averaging low 30s in Shield cricket?
Well, look, the world organisations around the world who have looked up to Cricket Australia as the benchmark for performance, high performance sectors, blah, blah, blah. We've led the way.
Well, we were the first with academies, weren't we?
Yeah, we've led the way with the academies. We've led the way with increasing coaches. Now, whether we've actually got the right ones in there to help guide these youngsters is a different question altogether, but we've got them. I think this is a classic case in business where you've just got to look and you've got to go, have we got the right people in the right place at the right time? And for me, the answer is no. We haven't had it for a long time. And we're now desperately trying to fill those shoes. But I read an article just a comment on Twitter by Ten Sport, and it said, within this whole thing, how has no one actually got sacked? Like, how do people just survive and move around? And to me, that sort of just says boys club.
Yeah. I mean, James Sutherland's moved on.
Yeah.
Ian Roy from Legals moved on.
Yeah.
He was straight over there in South Africa.
But what's
so
moved
there's only
on?
Been a couple.
What's moved on?
they're no longer employed there.
Yeah, but by choice, or were they? Did they resign? What I'm saying is that a gentle push is a lot different than coming down hard. The way I see it, the only people that have actually been sacked in this particular instance is the three players.
Yeah.
Warner, Smith and Bancroft. And the reason is because they don't actually walk in back into their post or another post. They actually have to earn it back, or they've got to find another way.
Or get selected.
Or get selected, yeah. So for me,
they've talked a lot about the players, that the character and the behaviours that they have to do.
Yeah.
Reading through this review, it's for the first time I think it's put it out there that the way that we actually value the player behaviour needs to be reflected at board and staff level with Cricket Australia too. So you're picking players on character. Well, you've got to be employing on character as well.
Yeah. Look, I think there's always been I don't know this for fact, but I'm pretty sure there's always been a slight jealousy towards the people within the organisation administratively to know exactly the payments of which the players get. The cricketers get paid very handsomely.
Yes.
And rightfully so. They're entertainers and they do a good job at it.
And short working frame of years, isn't it?
Like
maybe
10 years, yep, no doubt. But, you know, I think that there's always been that, always from the past, even when we started, even when we just started to get paid, you know, there was people in the administration who thought that, hang on.
Why is they on? Yeah.
Exactly. Well, hang on, we're doing work behind the scenes. Why aren't they getting work? Well, I think they've got
it's just life.
Well, you went back to the main point, and the point is their major asset is the men's cricket team at this current point of time. Why? Because that's their entertainment. That's what they're marketed on. That's been the package. Test team, one day cricket and T20. It's changing now with the women, of course, but right now, currently, that's their marketing tool. You can't piss away your marketing tool and neglect
your biggest marketing
and say it's underpaid or not worthy. To me, that's a little bit, it's stupid and ridiculous, and they
should come back to bite you though. And you're talking about marketing. I think it's the marketing department. Well, if anything reinforces, the arrogance from Cricket Australia's end in this report, one visual for me is when Australia beat England in the Ashes series, and on the podium, there's the four fingers, Australian fingers up, showing the four wins.
Yeah.
And there's a fist of England, you know, no wins. I thought that was so cringeworthy.
Yeah,
that
was
so lack of respect for the opposition. So that is of the last 12 months, the two images, one off field is that on the podium. That's arrogance.
Yeah.
And then obviously, the other image is the sandpaper on the field in Cape Town by
so
the
who's,
players.
So I'll ask you a question then. So who's responsible for this then? How's it got to that? I can't see how it's the administration. For me, it has to be the high-performance people. So
with the players or that marketing
whoever,
to think up that on the podium?
I've no
and for
idea.
For that to get ticked off going, that's a good idea.
Whoever, I mean, my God, what is happening? But you know, we've got to be.
Hey, come on, you're still proud
as
of
humans,
this.
A little bit more switched on to know what's right and what's wrong. And the problem is, and for those listeners that don't understand, is that when you are a high performance sportsman, you are in a bubble. You are in a world of your own, which is hard to break out of when you're in that bubble, because things that are so important to you at that time to go towards your performance, which is the most important thing at the time. You know, you need the right shoes, you need the right shoelaces, you need
that never really
you need the right back
fashion.
Grip. You know, we're strange humans, batters, because we're built on failure.
You're talking about a bit of peer pressure as well, or
peer. Yeah, look, you got to make sure that everything's under control. We know that generally there's a good correlation between if things aren't right at home, success won't come on the field, you know. Yeah. Happy home, happy, you know, happy life, happy
career.
Wife, happy career,
life
blah,
balance.
Blah, blah. So there's a lot of pressure.
So how do, like, and obviously Simon linked that in the review, saying they've got to get out of the bubble, more time at club cricket, more, you know, in the community. But my question is that actually attainable? You know, I look at Aaron Finch.
No chance.
So he's gone to Dubai and Abu Dhabi.
Yep.
They've, you know, with practice matches in Queensland.
Yep.
You know, played the two test matches, straight into T20 and he's captain. He's got to come back and play a one day a Sunday. So he's in the system, the one days. He's probably going to play in the first couple of tests. How can he not be in a bubble?
He's in a bubble. Yep. I mean, this is the thing.
There's no time.
Look, it's hard to... there's no excuse for poor behaviour or cheating.
Yep.
There's no excuse for that at all.
Exactly.
You know, Justin Langer is we know that he's big on manners and respect and stuff like that.
Also a black belt in karate, so don't take him on.
You don't piss him off or mess with him. But I think we've struggled to... Our players have really mismanaged that section, you know, over the past decade or so, I reckon. I know certainly of a few people who have played cricket for Australia, even in this state, and have returned back to their state as absolute knobs. And then it's the job as the coach to try and pick that
up
again.
That's noticeable.
Yeah, it is. It's clearly noticeable. So it's almost like you've gone to a level, and I don't know whether it's a result.
Well, we don't want that. We want them virtually.
Yeah.
The same. Well, we do. We want the same person who goes up when they have the opportunity to come back. It's just the same personality, but hopefully a better cricketer.
Yeah.
And be able to lead and show, at least by example, what it's like to play at the top level.
Yeah.
We don't want behaviours that are poor there going back down.
No, we don't, because that's where you're breeding your youngsters and stuff like that. And you should know by the time you get to the top, but... Look, as you said, maybe you're in a bubble, you're travelling in business class all the time, you're staying in top hotels, you're getting paid high amounts of money. Whether that affects your normal way you react in life, it must. But that's what we want to try and eradicate and keep that aside. The monetary side is just a byproduct of being a good player and having the invitation. It's actually, you know, accepting the invitation to play for your country. It's not a given right.
Nope.
It's an invitation and you either accept to do it or not.
And if you accept it, these are the certain behaviours and skills and attitudes that we want there.
Yes, but however, the player pact.
Okay, we're going to get to that because Tim Payne mentioned it. You know, this is a line in the sand moment, Cape Town. The last time, though, I heard this is a line in the sand, guess where it was? It was in Hobart 2016 when South Africa flogged us to go two up in the series.
Yeah.
And... I reckon a lot of this winning at any cost started in that dressing room that day.
Yeah, well...
After the defeat.
Well, I was meant to meet with Pat Howard that morning, actually. And
to get a game or take over as well.
I'm not sure what I was actually meeting him for. I actually enjoyed chatting with Pat Howard.
Yep.
You know, I enjoy the conversation. He's an intense dude and he knows what he's on about.
But do you feel like at times... you know, he's trying to upskill his cricket as well.
Yep.
So he asked those sort of questions too.
Yeah, look, he's a smart operator in that sense. But I can't remember what I was meant to meet him for. I really can't. But then he had to jump on the
disaster.
Plane. Straight out, left me high and dry at the MCG. James Sutherland walks down, they jump in a car, get in the flight, and they're down to Hobart first thing in the morning.
So what'd you do? Were you just in the Hugh Trumbull Cafe? I'll have a little schnitzel.
Said to him, mate, look, you know, if you're looking for a top order batsman again, I'm not that bad. No. And my run's pretty sandy, have been at hard times as well.
Yeah.
The ball's been swinging. So I said, look, you know, because
it
moved down there in Hobart and we were rubbish. So anyway, he didn't take it up, but that's okay.
But, yeah, I'm just interested, you know, that winning at all costs and that line in the sand. You hear these generic statements at different times. I mean, the last time I heard that was when we lost there. And I think you talk about winning, but you want to win with class and respect. And Tim Payne and Josh Hazlewood, I thought they were pretty good with what they said. But I think there's a bit of the cricketing fraternity feel, and I feel like this, that we're already on the path of playing in and performing the right behaviours. That two test matches against Pakistan, I thought there can't be any question about the way that we went about, the way we respected the opposition, all that. It's just our performances were poor. So in a lot of ways, they can do the pack, but I think they're already showing that the behaviours that we want from the Australian team, we obviously just want their cricket skills to pick up a bit.
Yeah, so until the sandpaper gate, was our behaviours and that acceptable within the community and so forth?
Well, I think when we won the Ashes 4-0, generally everyone was happy.
So, yeah, I mean, look, it's hard.
But they don't like us losing and obviously the cheating element.
Cheating.
I think if we cheated to win 4-0, no one would be happy with that.
Yeah.
And it's England. There just seems to be, there's certain teams, there's more angst a bit, series. And the South African series is always an ugly series. 4 years before, the Michael Clarke, great 160, Ryan Harris on one ball. Yeah. That was an ugly series.
Yes.
And I think Cricket Australia could have been on the front foot a little bit more, knowing we saw 4 years ago, ugly series. It's on the back of generally a subcontinent tour, an Ashes series, Big Bash one day. There's a lot of fatigue there. And when you're fatigued, sometimes you make poor decisions.
Yeah, you can snap for sure.
I think we needed someone fresh over there, but that's in hindsight. But from the playing end, they're going to go with this packed.
So if they signed off on it?
No, I think...
Well, it hasn't
remember
worked.
Steve Waugh's team did it, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But my problem with that, it's a little bit like, not the, remember when Cricket Victoria brought, or the Bush Rangers, you had a drinking ban?
We had a drinking ban.
And I was in the Australian team at the time, so I come into it. So, oh, well, if the whole group has
can you explain to this is why there was that drinking ban? Can you remember?
No.
Okay, we won 5 out of 61 games on the road.
Okay.
So basically...
Is that good or bad?
It's not ideal. So, you know, basically when we got onto the plane to exit Victoria...
It was...
It turned into a party.
So that's fine though, Hodge. But my thing, I remember when I first joined the team, I might not even played that whole first year.
Yeah.
And I was somewhere at dinner and somebody's, more an administrator's there, having a beer. And I said, what are you doing? He's going, no, you're allowed up till 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I'm going, no, now there's wobbles in this thing. Yes. And then they said, no, you can have beers in your room. And then I'm going, well, this is a farce. We're either in or out.
Correct.
But also, when you have a pack like that, I reckon about 4 years later, I was in a meeting. And I just thought, we needed to readdress it. We either need to reconfirm it or we get rid of it that way. And it didn't work out that way. And that's like with Steve Waugh's group. They had their own spirit of cricket. I don't know what it was. But 4 years on, someone was still referring to it. And I go, yeah, but that's not relevant to this group.
It's not.
It's 4 years on. So you need to revisit it at least, I reckon, every 2 years.
For sure.
Because it's got to be relevant. As soon as three people come in and out, are those three people, are they totally agreed with this pact?
No, they're not. Because
so it changes with the people you got in there.
Well, things evolve. Systems evolve. People evolve. You know... I can certainly say that we were a lot different at 18 than we were at 35 when we finished our career.
Bit grey.
And we certainly know that what was right when you were 18 was certainly different when you were 35 as well.
But that's where you need the leaders to have already been showing you that this is the right behaviours.
Yeah, look, I found it tough because just trying to keep up with Murphy's having a drink was just way too difficult. So... if he had retired a little bit earlier, I don't think that drinking pack would have come in.
It wasn't just Big Merv.
No.
And no one actually trained harder or played harder on the field than Merv.
No, but see, so that's
his attributes
were good. We'll talk about, you know, packs as well. I mean, AB, his culture was very much, we work hard, we play hard, but we're going to enjoy the fruits of our labour if we win.
Yeah.
Because that's what the essence of it was about. And everyone understood that and everyone enjoyed that camaraderie and hard work ethic because he had to turn around what was from the past.
Well, him and Rebel Bob Simpson, South African tour, no Lily Chapel Marsh.
Yeah. So I think this is basically the same. We don't have to change too much. We just have to go back to the same
culture. But I just think Shield season, you know, test series, one day series, even every test shield game, it is a journey that you go on.
Yeah.
And you want closure of that journey. So in our era, it was having beers, drinking and talking. That's closure. Okay, we've got to go to another one. So it doesn't necessarily need to be drinking.
Yeah.
But you need some closure, each test match, shield, whatever, that brings the group together, galvanizes, and you look forward to it. This is the reason I play. Yes, yeah. I'm well paid and all that, but I'm looking forward to this.
Yes.
At the end of the tour or test match.
Yep.
I don't know what it is, but that's what I think from the pact. You've got to go, what do we value? What do we want to do together to reward ourselves for going through this journey?
Yeah.
I haven't got the answers, but they need to have the answers.
They do.
As for behaviours, you know, we've got a blueprint, and that's the Southern Stars.
Mm.
The way the Australian women's team have gone about their work from whatever I can remember,
You
know, they're totally professional and successful on the field. And then off the field, they're equally as brilliant. So there's a lot of attributes I think we can take on from the Southern Stars.
Yeah, look, as I said, they're excellent. There's no doubt we can take that on board. And it's funny because they work under the banner of the same high performance sector in Brisbane. So, look, maybe Matthew Mott has and Sean Flagler more time to mould these girls into what their expectations are, you know, over a full year. And generally they're together. Our Australian cricket team comes and goes left, right and centre. There's people coming in and out. There's people playing in different competitions, left, right and centre.
The women don't play as much test match cricket.
Yeah, so look, it's very hard, I think, to shape and mould that person that you want. And let's be honest, everyone's different. And, you know, I mean, look at Mickey Lewis, for example, when we played with him. Such an individual character. And, you know, that's what you love. You love those characters, but they're different.
Actually got a wicket before he played a game. Remember, I think he sledged Stewie Law
when
he was 12th man. And Stewie got that angry. He got out next ball.
Yeah,
come up and gave him a little spray himself. And then Mickey was just da-da-da-da-da-da. So he actually got a first-class wicket.
That's awesome.
Without playing a first-class.
I don't think Mick fell into the rules of the drinking ban either. You know, it was there. Not that I know of.
No, but you were allowed to do it in your room or before 8 o'clock.
I thought it was
players don't want inconsistencies.
No.
And also, I don't think the public, they don't want cringeworthy packs or messages or just cliches. The public are too smart for that.
Well, I mean, God help us all when you pick up the paper and you look at it and there's a player packed about how to behave and... I mean, what is going on?
No, I think, to be honest, the way that they behaved in that Pakistan series, just keep doing it.
It's fine.
There was no problems. I think you respected the opposition, respected the game, respected yourselves, and it's really just about their output cricket-wise.
Well, Sarfraz didn't think so.
What did he say?
I think he said that he wasn't too happy with a couple of sledging here and there, but that's okay. That's sport.
I thought it went the opposite. I thought Sarfraz actually gave us a bit of a rap.
Did he?
Yeah.
Ah.
That's the way I was. Just in this review, another part, and I think this is crucial, is the relationship between Cricket Australia and the ACA.
Yeah.
And Simon said that they need to start mediations within 30 days. So that's one thing I like. When they put a time slot on it, it has to be done. Whereas a lot of these other reviews are just sort of, you know, the Ethics Committee, the Australian Cricket Council. In some ways, they've already got them. But, you know, there wasn't the immediacy of that. But... I think this is crucial because a lot of what's happened that finished up in Cape Town was building through those ugly MOU negotiations.
So where's Simon Longstaff from? Where's his background?
I don't know.
Okay, so he...
But he's obviously would have been in the business of doing reviews and
so if he's
and
employed
culture,
to do this, is he going to...
No, he's out.
Is he the person that actually... helps build these relationships back together? Who's responsible for that?
Well,
because there's no way that Roberts, Sutherland, Alistair Nicholson and Dyer...
Peaver, James is gone, and can
repair... Probably, I don't reckon, what's happened in the past. It'll be patched up, but I certainly don't
think it's going to be new. I see what you're saying here. You want a mediator to actually do that because you don't think... both sides can do that because the blood would be too thick between those negotiations. I mean, my man who I'm going to review his book later on, Ian Chappell, and we know he's really forthright and everything like that. He's talking that David Peaver should go.
Yep.
There was an article saying that maybe it's a good time. Greg Dyer's done the right thing by the players and got that that he goes. If that happened to happen, if David Peaver and Greg Dyer did move on, would that make the MOU, the ACA and Cricket Australia mediation a lot easier?
I think it has to. For me, it's a bit like a tarnished marriage. You know, you can live with each other for a period of time, but eventually you're just going to start hating each other.
Kids.
Yeah. I think that if they're going to do the review and they're making changes, then let's go full circle and let's go clean it out and let's go, okay, let's get some people in who can make this work.
Yeah.
Both organisations have done some fantastic work. We've seen the ACA work for the playing group, but also Cricket Australia's grown this huge thing into a huge revenue earning thing, which is fantastic. Both need to understand the relevance of each other, and I don't think that they can both accept what they are until we make a few changes. So I'm with Trapelli. I think this is a good time for that to happen.
And just on that, the ACA have obviously had a press conference yesterday. They're calling for, because of the review, that maybe the penalties of the three boys that were banned are a bit skewed now, and they're asking for an immediate lifting of the bans. Where do you sit on that?
No, I'm with Simon Gadditch on this one. I think that the bans were put in place for a reason, that the players did the wrong thing, and we don't condone cheating. And just because a review comes out and says something else, you're still responsible for your own actions. Let's get that very clear. You don't get in trouble. You don't blame someone else for doing the wrong thing when you blah, 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 drive too fast over the speed limit. No, no, you're responsible for your own actions and you need to take that punishment on. Whether the punishment was too harsh or not, that's a different matter, which I think it was. But the punishment's set. It's been set for a reason, and I think they've got to stand that term.
Yeah, I'm a bit different. I reckon have a crack at it. Have a crack at actually lifting the bans. I would only do it for state cricket to allow them play in the Sheffield Shield and the Big Bash. We saw overnight that Stephen Smith signed for the UAE Big Bash that starts the night. T20 starts the night of the Big Bash. What's the best for Australian cricket? And I think it would be having Stephen Smith, not in the UAE, playing in the Big Bash. And the report of this review, I reckon there's grounds to actually, let's have a go at seeing whether we can lift these bans and get them playing straight away, as long as the players, the three players, are comfortable with that.
Well, I actually didn't know that you could go and play in other leagues whilst there's
Australian cricket on. Well, they're in the Canada League.
Yeah, I know, but there was no cricket on at that time, you see. It's the same with the CPL. There's actually zero cricket to be played. So I'm with you on that one. I think
because I think it's devaluing the brand of the player, and it's also devaluing Australian cricket.
Yeah.
So they'll still be hurting. If you said you can't play for Australia, they're still taking a hit. I want to play for Australia, but you're strengthening Shield cricket. You're strengthening the Big Bash.
Yep.
So you're strengthening Australian cricket.
No, I'm with you there. That's not a bad one. I didn't think of that. It's I just thought that.
No, but you're right. I heard Simon Kadditch's
interview,
and we love Caddo. It's just bang. And he said straight away in South Africa, when it dropped, he goes, Smith's got to go, Warner's got to go, Lehman's got to go, before it even got going.
Yeah.
So I like that. But, you know, we're all different personalities.
We are.
Talking about strengthening Australian cricket, what's our best format? We've been absolutely flogged again in the T20 series by Pakistan 3-0.
Yep.
At the moment, have we got one strong format? We got strong.
No.
Test matches flogged.
No.
One day is in England, absolutely flogged.
Yeah.
And T20 cricket.
Well, we've been slipping.
This might be as low as we've ever been.
Well, I can't remember the last time. I think it's probably 10 series away from home that we haven't won one away from home. We might have won one somewhere in the middle there.
We drew with Bangladesh. Like, they beat us in the first test.
Yeah. Well, we haven't ever won in Dubai.
No.
South Africa, did we...
Yeah, that was 4 years ago.
We got done.
Yeah,
we got done this one. Yeah. So we got done 4 years ago, done this one.
India,
who knows? India, forget
England,
it.
We lost.
Sri Lanka, we lost. So, look, our high-performance sector actually needs a serious look at themselves as well. And this has been going on for a while. You know, I liked the idea of Ponting jumping on board our T20 team, unfortunately, he got injured with his Achilles.
But do you think that's sort of, changing the coaching at the top level? But are the errors already there? So when you're picking people in the averaging low 30s, how much better can a Ponting make them?
No, he can't. He can't in that immediate sense.
We actually want that. We didn't touch on it. Also, the review said we need to respect Shield cricket. It can no longer be a practice match. You can't have players coming in.
Well, this is another
thing. And then obviously,
that's a load of shit.
If you get the chance to play grade cricket, we want to strengthen all there. And also, I think a lot of the... No one's done research into... You know, the bowling workloads come in about 15 years ago.
Yep.
There was some before that. But is there anything in fast bowlers bowling less at training for a start? So batsmen are actually facing worse bowlers and more of their throwdowns.
Yep.
They're playing less grade cricket because they're not allowed to play it.
Yep.
They're playing less shield cricket. So it's actually, I think that's affecting the bowling bit, but is it affecting quality batting? Is that you're not facing as much quality bowling as you go through the pathways? So even in the under 17 tournament, I think if you bowled your 10 overs or 8 overs, you couldn't play for 3 days.
Yes.
So teams were sort of trying to bowl 7 overs and so their best bowler could play there. Why don't you just play them? If
just play.
Fit, just play and learn about the game.
Well, you probably know more about fast bowling and the injury process, but that happened last year in school cricket with Zach Evans.
Yeah.
He couldn't play a second 11 game and he couldn't play a school game. Like when you just want to play.
And my worry is what happens if Zach's got a 25-year-old body? He might be ready to go. And there is some 18-year-old bodies that, need a little bit more strength work and all that sort of stuff. And as far as I know, it's not based on any research.
Well, standard's really important, so...
But I think as a batsman, imagine even Marcus Harris's 250.
Yeah.
Unbelievable effort.
Yeah.
But Hazelwood and Cummins, I think, were playing a future league's game to bowl their 22 overs. How good would his innings have looked if it was against Hazelwood and Cummins?
Well, it just doesn't happen. And look, the two times...
But otherwise, then that's just a... For me, that's not shield cricket. It's just a slightly stronger futures league.
Yeah, it's probably right. Yeah,
but going back to what you said, well, I think we need to review the whole high performance area.
Well, Daniel Sam's only played a couple of games. Mickey Edwards has only played a couple of games. Yep.
Jack Edwards has a couple of games. He's a medium pace.
And yet. Copeland was probably the only one.
Yeah.
So really, you're only up against a genuine experienced player in that group of bowling units. So... Look, you're spot on.
That's not no
disrespect
Marcus Harris.
Spot on.
No one else got 250.
No, it's just the depth seems to be struggling there for sure.
Yeah,
and it's
so what we're doing for me isn't working. So we need a change.
No, we last podcast we reviewed the particular players which played in our first games and the quality, and I think there was 8 to 9 to 10.
Test players
within that group. That's just not even happening anymore, which is an issue.
And it's hard. I mean, I feel for the administrators with the scheduling,
but
I think they could still be able to maximise quality teams, full strength at certain stage. And it might be October.
Yeah.
It might be early on, but we need to do it. The Southern Stars, they're flying. They thrashed Pakistan 3-0 in the T20s.
They're on fire.
Alyssa Healy, 67 not out. Megan Shute, the in-swingers, a couple of wickets. So they won by 64 runs, 6 wickets, 9 wickets. They're off to the Caribbean. And the islands they're playing in, they're in Group B, Guyana, St. Lucia and Antigua.
Good. Well,
you got some good memories of those?
Yeah, look, I've actually played for... I've played for Guyana Amazon Warriors in the CPL, so that was my home ground.
That's one of your 82 teams that you've played
for. I was
for.
Down to play for St. Lucia, but rolled up there and broke my arm for the first ball that I faced. My arm was broken. But then ended up coaching St. Lucia under Darren Sammy. And Antigua, probably the favourite actually, only because...
Great island.
You love this ground as well. The recreation ground. So they've got the Viv Richards Stadium now, which just lacks intensity.
It's corporate.
It's just boring, flat out boring. The history is in the recreation ground. It's got the jail next to it.
I'm not bowling there again.
And it's tiny, and BC Lara goes
Brian nuts averaged there. 382 there.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, like Guyana, I was thinking of Guyana. We went there a couple of times, and we had this infamous one-day game there in 1999. Yep. We had a tie.
Yeah.
Packed crowd. And this is where we're lucky enough I can do a reenactment here. And this has been obviously a big win on the podcast because I can't actually see what I'm doing here.
Yes.
But the game got down to 30 over game. We need four off the last ball.
Right.
Steve Waugh's batting.
Yep.
His mate Warnie's up the other
Warnie's
end.
Warnie's there.
Warnie and so Steve, into they're the probably tail. Not chatting a lot.
Seven down.
Keith Arthurton. Keith. I don't know why. They've got Ambrose, Walsh, but their left arm spinner, Keith Arthurton, is bowling.
Right.
Packed crowd going off. The crowd got it wrong the over before. They thought it was the end of the game. They started running on.
No way.
But there's still an over to go. We had to go. So four to win, 3-2 tie. Arthurton bowls the ball. Well, he's left-handed.
Yep.
So that doesn't work. I'm reenacting it right now. He bowls it there.
Yep.
Tugger belts it out to long on.
Yep.
I think it was Stewie Williams, the opening batsman.
Yes.
Grabs it. These dudes are running. Warnie's coming back for the second, right? Stewie fields nicely, throws the ball to Keith, and we know that Warnie's not very fast, right? He accepts the ball, hits the stump, but Warne, always inspirational, never beaten Shane Warne on the field, actually just gets his bat as the stumps are broken, right? So they're broken.
Yep.
Steve Waugh sees this, he starts running, but what he doesn't see is there is 10,000 spectators now running onto the field, right? Tugger gets to here, and Arthurton gets the ball, hits the stumps again, but the bales are broken.
Yeah, you've got to pick the stump up.
He's got to pick the stump up and the ball. Steve Waugh dives into his crease. Meanwhile, Ridley Jacobs' cousin has just taken out Steve Waugh.
Yeah.
Bang. Steve Waugh gets up.
Yeah.
And then Ridley Jacobs' other cousin, which is weird because I think Ridley's from Antigua.
Yeah, he's not from there.
Tries to flog his bat and he's fighting them off. So we get off and people are grabbing stumps. Guys are running around everywhere, right? Chaos.
Okay.
So on the scoreboard, it says West Indies win by a run.
Yeah.
We're in the dressing rooms and Rabba Sarr, I think his name was, the match referee, he's come in and said he's looked at the footage. You know, that is the third run, so it's actually a tie.
How can you see the footage when there's like 10,000 people on the...
Smashing. And at Guyana, the old Georgetown, it's all wooden pavilions. So they're stomping up on top of us and we're thinking, we're not getting out of here.
Nah.
So then they actually come in, they say, it's a tie, but we're not going to announce it. You get in the bus, you get going to your Pegasus Hotel,
right.
The only hotel you can tell the guy, the Pegasus Hotel.
Yes.
And then we'll announce it, but don't go out at night, right? So we're driving on our bus.
Yeah.
I think Warnie might have been driving it like this. And then we hear this, rah! Like that obviously said it was a tie and the locals aren't happy. So we went into the Pegasus and didn't leave until we had to go to the airport. Well, so that's my memory of Guyana.
Right, well, you don't go too far from the Pegasus unless you go on a harbour, not harbour lights, actually. It's,
but I think, hasn't Guyana really actually started to modernise itself a bit? Were you there recently?
I can't remember the name of the disco where everyone goes there, but it's a good joint. I think that's amazing. I'd like to know what happened to Warnie in that little
we couldn't
sort of
see him at the other end.
Type thing.
Well, he's the next AFL player. He
would have been fine with a few hip and shoulders and stuff.
But get on YouTube. 1999 tie. Guyana.
It's pretty cool, actually.
West Indies.
Look, the girls will be fine in the West Indies. Yeah. I'm a little bit nervous about Guyana itself because that wicket won't suit our girls traditionally, I don't think. It's a turner. It's a slow, low thing. Low scoring. St. Lucia, they'll be fine. Antigua, they'll be fine. But I think they're right on track to lift that title anyway.
Good luck. We'll start, I think, November 9th is our first game to the Southern Stars. Okay, who increased their chances in Shield cricket to play in the first Test match? We talked about Marcus Harris. Yep. Is he a realistic chance now?
Well, if he had faced
Copeland and Hazelwood, is he?
Oh, look, I think he is. I think, you know, it was put out there.
Because Matty Renshaw missed out.
Yeah, look, I still think Matt... I still think Matt should be in the side, actually. You know, first and foremost, I don't think he should have lost his spot. And going back, controversially, he probably only lost his spot because he wasn't fashionable. And poor Davey Bull at the other end.
Stuck down one end.
Yeah, he didn't like it. So the Reverend asked for a wish of God, and it was granted by the selectors. And poor Matty Renshaw was kicked into touch.
But he had one thing I like about Matty, he's got test hundreds.
Yeah, I mean, he's...
No, we know his best is good enough.
He's a good player. And from all reports, you know, he's a bit of a weirdo and doesn't, you know, fit in.
See, I like that.
We love that.
I spend a bit of time with him if he's like that.
That's the type of person we're after in this review, apparently. But, look...
Sean Marsh, weirdo?
Yeah, he's got some weirdness about him.
No, I didn't think he was very weird.
He's from WA.
But he's got runs. Yeah. Runs. So is he
that's
back
a
in?
Dig for that. Look, Sean Marsh has done well. Sean Marsh, I think, has got some really... the only reason I said that, I'm talking about his brain cells, not talk about that. But he's important. A serious cricket player. I question his overall future, being 35, moving forward with this test side.
He's an enigma, isn't he?
Yeah, it's really...
Because if you look at his career, Hodgie, it's almost like I've got to in my frame of mind now. Like, he got 100 on debut, doing well, injured. He had hamstring injuries.
A lot of them, yeah.
Got a 99 against the Renegades that Eddie had to prove his fitness. So this is the era we're in. He play a T20 game. Yes. Plays against India. He scores 17 runs in his 7 hits.
Yeah.
Right? He's the sort of guy, if you play him in the first test and he fails, you'd get him out quickly.
Yeah. Yep.
Because he's the sort of guy, he just gets into slumps. But if he gets runs like last year's Ashes, we wouldn't have won the Ashes without Sean Marsh
No chance. He was on fire.
So he's one of those unique players that if they start him and he doesn't get runs, he's one I'd get out straight away.
Yeah, I think we've got to accept him for what he is. He's a little bit like Marcus North. When he's hot, he's really hot. And then when he's cold, he's cold. But they're both unbelievably talented players and too good not to be down for a long period of time. But I think he's not a banker. You know, he's not a guy that's going to average 55.
So you're saying icing on the cake.
Yes.
But unfortunately, our cake is not very tasty at the moment.
No, because we haven't got Langer, Hayden, Ponting, Martin around him.
Gilchrist,
to be able to have that little icing on the cake.
Okay, what about another left-hander there? Interesting one from left field. Matty Wade's averaging 50 since he got dropped from the Australian team.
Yeah, he's been on fire, actually. And kudos to Matty. He's done really well, actually. However, I'm traditionally not a fan of having two wicket keepers in, you know, your top six. You either have one or the other. If he's good enough to actually take Tim Payne's spot, then that's another debate.
But he had a good run, Matty, and he just didn't get any runs, did he, as keeper? But
no, he didn't.
But playing as a keeper without... playing as a bat without keeping, we'll say good day to Richie Robertson right now.
Yeah.
Ex-Victorian keeper, opened the batting against England, 1977.
Good on you,
he
Richie.
He probably watches and listens to the show.
But what have we got? We've got one more Shield round, have we, before...
Pete Hanscom, 48, needs 100.
Look, I think there's a couple of people who need time back in the system to be able to cement their spot back in. I think Pete's one of those.
Yep.
I think there was a lot of issues over his technique. He's still going to need time to get that right.
Been working with Chris Rogers.
Yeah, well...
On his technique. Not happy with that?
Well, I'm not sure who's in charge. Is it him or is it Graham Hick? Well, I'm not sure where the...
Oh, I don't know.
Well, if Graham Hick's the batting coach for Cricket Australia, why isn't he working with him? Because that's ultimately where he got challenged and in trouble.
Are you going to use your sports management degree at Deakin? We've had the Longstaff review. Are we next week going to see the Brad Hodge review of high performance cricket in Australia? Will you be presenting that next week?
Well, I just thought... This
and
is,
not 147
Well, this is
pages.
One of those high performance questions that who's responsible? So... I'm not sure where...
So with Pete's technique last year, he didn't admit it, but that was nowhere. He was going so far back.
Absolutely nowhere.
Not playing the pool. Like a lot of blokes who go all the way back, right? Yeah. You know what they're sweating on? Short ball.
Yeah.
You bowl there, they bang it. So you go, I don't bowl short ball. So you end up giving them half volleys. He was ducking and weaving short balls,
yeah.
Going back on the crease, and then nicking half volleys. But how did it get to that?
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Is that the question I thought that you're asking?
I thought maybe he was just trying to emulate Steve Smith. I'm not sure. And which is good enough because he averaged 60. But my experience of cricket, you've got to play cricket your way. And you've got to play to your strength, not someone else's. But in the system, this is where the system is questionable and not broken, but questionable. So if we have a batting coach, which is Graeme Hick, then we have an AIS coach, or whatever it's called these days, Centre of Excellence or High Performance Centre, which is Chris Rogers. And then when he comes back
to Victoria,
we've got Lachlan Stevens. Who's actually in control of Pete's destiny, or who's responsible and who's spending enough time? In
that the sounds complicated.
Because right now, it has to be Lachlan Stevens. So who's Lachlan Stevens then report to? Because this is the issue of this big brother controlling factor. Because right now, Pete Hanscom's under the control of Andrew McDonald and Lachlan Stevens. Because they've got to reshape him now. Yes. They've got to remold him. And the big brother needs to understand that that's the way it needs to work. That's the way it needed to work for everyone that gets dropped. The thing that we don't know is that the psychology of how that person's going at that particular time.
This is your strength. This is where your sport management degree comes in.
I don't need
so I'm looking
need
forward to the Hodge report.
All I need is a call from Pat Howard and go, you're my man, Hodgie.
Okay. Have you put that on your LinkedIn?
No, I haven't got it yet. I've got to get... I want
to hear sports management degree and high performance...
I'm going to update my LinkedIn profile and stuff on Friday. I'm going to get very active.
Just for the bowlers, quickly. I mean, if everyone's fully fit, I don't think anyone else is getting a go. You know, Stark, Hazelwood, Cummins and Lyon.
Yeah.
But good to see, you know, Scotty Boland, 6 for. Tremaine, 5 for in the first innings again. So he's pushing hard.
But Pope.
Popey, 7 for.
Are you picking him or what? You getting him in? Can he bat?
I'd like to see him get a few more wickets first.
Yeah.
If the SCG is a raging turner, we want to have a look at a wrist spinner. Lyon plays.
Yeah.
But also, I think we need to find out where Agar is because he's exciting as a three-dimensional player.
Yep. Okay. Fair enough.
But keep getting those 7 for, baby. He got none for in the second innings. Cam Green, have you seen him?
No. Big
fast bowler from Western Australia, 19. He took 9 wickets for 42 for the game.
Jeez.
Took a 5 for last year, back problems.
Why are they always big over there? Why don't you go over to Western Australia and you face Tom Moody, Joe Angel, you know, this guy.
Chris Matthews, Bruce Reid.
All tall.
And all the batsmen are 5'6". Yeah. That's when Western Australian cricket was strong. Hey, he bats really well. So watch out for Cam Green. And the old reliable backups, many and Sayers in the wickets. You know what you're getting with them.
Yeah.
Okay, time for the retrospective book review. Now, we got overwhelmed last week by the Jon Snow autobiography. My one this week, and it's an absolute gun. He's been in the news at the moment. My World of Cricket, Ian Chappell. I think it was released in 1973. The bio says, what about this?
I wasn't even born.
You weren't even born. Well, you'll love this.
I was just about
Australia's exciting cricket captain tells his story vividly describing his basic cricket philosophy, his batting techniques that bring success. So it's not just, show you some batting techniques. This one brings success.
Yep.
He's recommended bowling methods. I'm not sure about that. What television means to cricket stars. We should be watching that one. His views on all matters major cricket nation. It's a book for the seasoned cricketers. So that's probably you or me. A casual fan, you know, people who go, cricket's all right.
Yep.
Read this bloody book. And for youngsters, I mean, that's fair enough. Youngsters just starting to learn the game. Now, everyone at home, if you go to page 70, and no doubt you've all got your copies. You haven't got your copy, Hodgie.
Nah.
But Ian goes, a day in my life as Aussie captain.
Right.
To be a test captain, you must be a diplomat, a speech maker, almost a travel agent.
Yes.
A psychologist, and a cricketer and tactician as well. Is there anything there that you reckon Tim Payne could get into the players' pack? Because I reckon there is. What do you like there?
I like the travel agent.
So why can't we have at least half the team, maybe a TAFE course in travel agency, and you can get on to, what is it, hotels.com?
I'll tell you what we can do. we can negotiate in the player pack for our players to spend at least 1 to 2 hours at Flight Centre.
Yes.
In the customer service sector. And I reckon that'd be very good for the benefit of the Australian.
Yeah, we won this test match two days early. Do you want to go home? Oh, actually, there's a going price over in Dubai, Bali. Who wants to go? So I reckon, yep. Ian, like this book is gold. There's actually things that can go.
What is a speech maker? What is that?
Well, I think it's to do with public speaking. That can't hurt.
Nathan Lyon.
Gets a degree in public speaking, and then all of a sudden at his press conferences, they're laughing in the eyes. That he's quoting famous quotes from inspirational people. Right. I want two or three very good speech makers, and it couldn't hurt, I think, possibly your wicketkeeper to be a psychologist.
Yeah.
I mean, because they are the heartbeat of the team.
Well, let's dive into this. Let's try and find out next week. The ACA give out grants year in, year out about education, right? Let's see how many of our cricket nation have actually taken up the psychology in a university course.
Anything else you want to see? I mean, Ian's hit just about everything on the bell there. What about responsible drinking, being able to serve alcohol? Because there's actually, you can get certificates for that. I think that could help, couldn't it?
No, speaking to Ian last week, he was very much on the Doug Walters track. I think what we're going to get to is educate our players to be able to drink 15 stubbies and have 80 smokes on a Saturday night and still go out Sunday and get 100 for your test nation.
That's
called serious cricket.
Well, Ian Chappell's My World of Cricket, and he's talked about how to be a successful cricketer.
Yeah.
So we've got him playing the pull shot and hook shot. And Ian Chappell was one of the great hookers of his generation, one of the great captains of his era. So, Ian, look, he's got inside the line. Make sure you pull down, get over the ball, and smash it for six.
Yep.
Gold. That's still replicated
right now, is it?
For the fast bowling, you know who he's got? Dennis Cilley. Without the moustache. This is early. Why wouldn't you get Dennis Cilley? Look, if you can run up and release the ball like that, Dennis, you are laughing. My only negative, this is a brilliant book. It's almost a Bible. My only negative in this book, and hopefully I can get to it pretty quick. So it's slips fielding. He was one of the greatest slips fielders. That's how you catch the ball. Even on high catches, the ball must be firmly on the ball. I mean, they could use that now.
Where did you get that information from?
So I get to leg spin, and I'm thinking, it's before Warnie, even before Jimmy Higgs.
It's Richie Benno.
What's Richie going to say about leg spinning? Guess who's doing the leg spin bowling? Ian Chappell himself. Ian, you got 20 wickets and an average of 66 in test match cricket, and he's let himself down.
Strain on his face while he's bowling leg spin. Looks like he's taking a dump, let alone bowling leg spin.
Yeah, well, that's not a great position to be. But this book, it was recommended. One negative, Ian doing the leg spin. Everything else is gold. I think it was $4.99 back in 1973. So adjusted to these days, it's $282. Go out and buy it.
I'm going to get that for my kids for Christmas. That is amazing.
You know what it's time for?
What's it time for?
This is the reason why celebrities don't get on social media anymore, because if there's a hint of self-promotion, this guy skips it out. Hodgie, who are your nominations for this week?
Well, this week's social media self-promoter, I've got a few nominations, and I'll start with the cricketers first, and I'm going to go straight to Virat Kohli. And I'm probably trying to get under his skin a little bit because, they're coming out here this summer, and if we're not allowed to sledge and stuff like that, we're just going to smile at him.
Well, I don't have to bowl to him.
When he's on 498, we'll still be smiling at him, which is cool.
Kohli.
But Virat was active on Twitter, just promoting himself for hours in the nets, hours at the gym.
That's good.
Yeah, it is good, but also hours with the design crew at Puma. Here's a quick look at Puma Sports, blah, 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 at Puma Stores and his own professionally designed shoe. Now, if you go and have a look at it, it's just the white shoe with the Puma stripe, which we saw in 90s. I'll tell you what they are. They're the Puma Sheffields with just not the spike bottoms.
Geez, they were good.
That's what they are. Sheffields. We love that. That was the expensive shoe, and my parents bought me a pair once.
I don't think we could afford them.
Well, you would have stolen them. You're from Springvale. So you would have nicked mine.
No, Virat, the greatest batsman in the world, but guess what?
Yep.
Still a little self-promoting.
We know, buddy. We know you're getting paid a fortune for Puma, and there's no need to do that. But anyhow. next one is Dean Jones. So apart from getting sledged by a few people on Twitter.
He is getting sledged a bit.
As to why he's sucking up Pakistan, but that's because he's employed in Pakistan Super League.
Just won two titles for them.
And the Red Book, exactly, he's a good coach. This one, though, is a Dino special. And he's commenting on the back of the review. So the review's come out, and he's just put in there that I wrote this article 2 years ago, blah, blah, blah. Not much has changed. So it was in the Sydney Morning Herald commenting on the way the cricket culture is going. So he's actually ahead of his time.
He's done a Dino review. Yes. He did his own review.
So he's done his own review.
Was he asked to do the review?
No.
Okay.
No, he wasn't. But, yeah, we know what you're on about, Dino.
I think a few people just pulled him up on a few of those things. I didn't read the article. I should go and do that now. He's on the back foot a little bit there.
Yeah.
So self-promoting your own two-year-old article and linking it to our current review.
Yes. We know. We know, Dino. That's okay. Next one is across to New Zealand. Mitch McLenaghan.
Yep. Left-arm fast bowler.
Left-arm fast bowler. Now, Mitch has given himself an Instagram. He's showing himself bowl an over in a game. And it's got nice to be able to fire up and do this again at Auckland Cricket. So he's tagging in, actually doing it. Yep. Hashtag injury free. Hashtag almost back to full pace. Hashtag cricket. Hashtag bounces. Hashtag two from two. Hashtag how good. Hashtag FMA, which I'm not even sure what FMA stands for. Hashtag Ford Trophy. Hashtag Auckland Aces. Hashtag, I just can't go through all
hashtag
of them.
Hashtag self-promotion.
Exactly.
Did you read any responses to that? Surely Mitch is getting some.
I got sick of it because Mitch, I don't know, and this is what I'm a little bit disappointed about, because he was in my CPL team.
Yes.
I never saw this sort of commitment,
in his bowling.
No.
But his social media presence.
Jeez. Anyway.
Good one.
And the next one, I'm glad he's bounced back, actually, after a couple of weeks in the wilderness, and that's Mitchell Johnson.
Yeah.
So, Mitch, there was a couple of gym ones, which I've
stayed away
from.
He's sort of
taken
over from Pup.
Yeah, he has taken
away
from...
Last year was Pup Gym, wasn't it?
Yep.
Social media.
Yep.
But we're not hearing much from Pup, but... Jono's taken over.
Jono's back in big fashion, actually. So he's up there in Townsville, and he's just happened to take a photo of a wall, and he goes, "Found this bloke who looks like me." Hashtag Townsville. Hashtag Mo. It
wasn't a wanted poster or something.
No, it wasn't a wanted poster. It was just a photo, a picture of himself.
It was him.
But we already know you're a superstar, so it's okay, Mitch. So just it was more of a.
It's not a massive one, but it's just
not
a
massive.
Sneaky
but
one.
I like it. I'm glad he's back in the charts. That's all we wanted to get
in. Get
back
in the gym, Jono.
Now moving on to other sporting people.
Yeah.
From cricketers, the next one is probably our competitor now, Jess Yates. And we love her because we've worked with her before. But Jess Yates has got three big posts. Hashtag 488 Spider was unbelievable. The drive around Sydney, blah, 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 at the track. At Ferrari Australia. Hashtag Ferrari driven women. Now, there's three or four posts of her just sitting at the wheel in this 488 Spider.
Yeah.
Jess, come on.
Yeah. He's on to you.
We're on to you.
We know. How many was there? Two or three?
Three.
Mentions? Yeah, well, three
don't
votes.
Do that sort of stuff. We know.
Okay.
The next one is serial AFL pest who's quickly going to climb up the leaderboard, I reckon. I'm not sure what's going to happen post-football season.
He's a threat here to win this award.
Yeah, but Alex Rance has just got a picture of a book, but it's actually
it's
his
not
book.
Ian Chappell, no, My it's, World
it's,
of Cricket.
It's not My World of Cricket. No, no. It's not already always ready either.
Ian Redpath.
But it's Alex Rance. Love. It's just actually... I misplaced it actually, but it's just got a photo of his book saying that his new book will be coming out. Get ready to roar.
Supporters' hearts. Ready to roar.
Yep, it's pretty bad actually. Anyway, I've lost it. I'll track it down in a minute. The next one is our great friend, the Greg Norman, the Shark.
Where have you been, Shark?
Well, he's bounced back. He's actually been in. I followed him. He's in Asia scoping golf courses through there, but he's at the KN Golf Links, and he's actually taken a photo of himself, Shark Greg Norman, at his own golf course, sitting on a shark. So he's riding a shark.
Has he got his clothes on?
Whether he's trying to penetrate the shark or not, I can't quite see. But he has got clothes on.
Yeah, because I was visually.
Yeah, well, most times.
Okay, that's yeah.
Most times he doesn't have clothes on. I reckon, like after dark, he might secretly take them off and then jump back.
This is insane from the shark.
Yeah, but we love it. It's brilliant.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's all.
Oh, I've got one. I've got one. I've got one for you.
Who have you got? Me?
Well, I've got for you, Bradley Hodge.
Yes.
Just basically, Phillip Island, thumbs up MotoGP at. AUTLA.
Yes.
What's that?
That's the management company. Oh. TLA Worldwide. For tickets.
Oz MotoGP. Yeah. There's freebies all over that.
Yep.
So, Hodge, I've got you down. Just subtle. Good photo.
Well, you missed the follow-up. You missed the follow-up at Ducati, blah, blah, blah.
I
had a fantastic day, and I'll tell you what, it was better than standing in the field for East Sandringham. I know that.
Okay, so that's the social media self-promoter. I'm going to go with votes. Two to you.
Yeah, definitely.
Two to Coley.
Yeah.
We might hear more from him there. Mitchell Johnson, two.
Yep, good one.
I'm going to go Rance, two.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Dino, three, just for the article that we've written.
I thought he might have got more actually there, Dino.
I'm going to go Mitch McClanigan. Four votes.
Yeah, that's hideous.
That was hideous. Hashtag four votes, Mitch.
Yep.
Five votes for... Jesse Yates, three votes, just for the three
yes.
thing there. And six votes and favourite for the Social Media Self-Promoter Award is the Shark.
Yes.
And this could, if he wins again this year, it could just be the Greg Norman Social Media Self-Promoter Award. But that's it, Hodge. Great work again.
Thanks,
hey, mate,
Clint.
Just on the back of that Longstaff review and the ACA looking to overturn the bans on the boys, I put a little tweet out.
Oh, yes, cool.
And the results, I actually asked.
The
poll question was, post Cricket Australia review, the ACA have requested bans to be lifted immediately. Smith, Warner, Bancroft, should they be allowed to play A, international cricket, B, Shield cricket. C, let the bans remain. Over 2,000 votes.
Yes, cool.
42% said let the ban remain. And then 29% evenly split between let them play international cricket and Shield cricket.
Right.
So, yeah, I thought it might have come around a bit more that let's let them play.
Yep.
I would have thought the ban remaining was lower. I would have thought Shield cricket was more.
Yeah.
And international cricket was the lowest there. But it still shows that people are, 40% of people are comfortable letting the ban remain.
Well, it's probably a bit greyish, isn't it? Because, in theory, they're actually playing cricket. As you said, they played in the CPL. They're going over now to play in the UAE. Maybe they just got it wrong, that we need to see them playing in Shield cricket and even in the Big Bash. And if you don't want to pay them, let them play for free.
Yes.
You know, just let them be there. I think that's a pretty cool thing.
So thanks for voting in that. But
yeah, that's awesome.
And it gives us a little bit of, getting a feeling of what the attitude is around this one. It's still quite emotional, isn't it?
Well, I would have liked to see him playing before this and just get this rubbish out of the way. You know what happened with Warner up there in Sydney. I would have liked, because the longer this ban goes on, this is still going to continue to be front page news.
Yeah.
And, you know, God help everyone the day they actually come back and are available for test selection or one day cricket. It just keeps sort of continuing.
Yeah, we're so just waiting.
We need to finish it.
I tell you what, we're not waiting for the end of this episode. That's it from the Bowlology Report. Just quickly, I said Swedish listeners, I think they almost doubled for this episode, but we got some feedback.
Well, I did find who one of the listeners was, and his name is Robert Amore, and he's a preschool teacher and former Swedish international netball player. So we checked on him. He's from Stockholm. We're not sure.
Likes his cricket.
Well, he said he's one of very few that enjoy cricket over there, and he had a suggestion to say that if we wanted to tap into croquet, the croquet scene in Sweden, then we might be able to double our listeners.
Okay.
So we'll look into that, Robert. If not, if you can throw a landline out to a few others in Sweden.
I'd just like to get to double figures with our Swedish listeners. You know, they're in the indoor nets at the moment, not great over there. But the Japanese listeners actually got to 12.
Cool.
So if you want to just say hello, I know you studied Japanese, to just say something in Japanese.
All I know is that song, "We Want Some Sushi from Japan."
Okay, I think we'll finish on that note. Jackie Chan. We'll see you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.